Welcome back to another episode of Talking Moto. Today, I have my first ever Motocross a Nations show in general. Haven't done a Nations show before, so this should be fun. I talked last week about how I was going to do some research about some of these GP guys. Did a little bit of that. And so I think the format we're going to do here today is we're going to touch on a couple of the pretty notable things, and then I will get to what I believe are three of the teams that I think realistically have a shot to win this, and then I will go on and give my winner. So, first off, a couple notable things. I've talked about this before with Joe Shimoda. He will be making his debut on a 450 at Motocross Nations this week, riding for Team Japan, obviously. This past year on the 250 in Japan, at Ironman, he went 2-2 for second overall. Obviously, yes, that was on a 250 when he was in the middle of a championship battle with Hayden Deegan, who, shout out Deegan, should have been on the American team, but no, you went and hurt yourself. Not going to spend too much time on him, though. That's the only time I will be able to give him for this show. So Team Japan has Joe Shimoda riding a 450. I think it's that will suit him very, very well. Very, very good, whatever way you say it. It just seems like Shimoda's very consistent on almost every bike. Towards the end of his time on the Kawasaki, he seemed to get, I don't know if it was just the whole end of the championship momentum that it seemed like he always would build up. But I feel like he's got very consistent and smooth riding style. And we've seen this year, whole new Joe Shimoda. Little bit more aggressive early in races, motos, season in general. He was a little bit more aggressive. So I think this 450 will do absolute wonders for him. We obviously know how good that factory Honda 450 is, that HRC Honda. I mean, it's got quite a few championships the last couple years. It's got the most recent Pro Motocross Championship. So it's a very good bike. I think it'll fit Joe Shimoda very well. Only problem is if you look at Team Japan, Joe Shimoda's really all they got. To be honest, I don't see Joe Shimoda jumping up to this 450. He's riding the open class. I don't see him going out there and straight up beating Hunter Lawrence, who he's also in the open class with, and Eli Tomac, also in the open class. It's going to be difficult for him. Not exactly sure. I could realistically see Joe Shimoda in this open class at the end of Sunday. Realistically, I wouldn't be surprised if he's top five. I was thinking four, but I realistically think Joe Shimoda can go out there and get a top five in the open class. With basically just everything I said, he seems like he's got his starts a little bit dialed in. The Hondas have great starts, at least for the Lawrence brothers. Joe Shimoda has also had good starts on the 450. So I'm very excited to see exactly what old Wasabi Joe can do for Team Japan. Another guy, when you're talking international racing, you got to talk about Tim Geiser coming to the U.S. on Team Slovenia for the very first time. This is the first time Team Slovenia has ever been to the U.S. Last year in United Kingdom or whatever it's called, we won a war, so we can call it what we want. Geyser went 1-1 for, obviously, first place in the MXGP class last year. And also, if I'm not mistaken, this is going to be his farewell ride on a Honda. I'm pretty sure he's going over to KTM next year, which him and Herlings are basically switching spots. So we will get to Herlings in a little bit. They'll be the first country we talk about. So this will be Team Slovenia's first time in the U.S., but will be Tim Geiser's final time on a Honda. We saw the aggression that he had for Jet Lawrence with one and two turns left to go. I don't really know how to say that the best way, but we saw the aggression that Geyser had towards Jet Lawrence last year at the end of the race, trying to go make sure he goes 1-1. Because, I mean, let's just be honest, Slovenia, they don't always have a super realistic chance to win. So this is where Geyser can go out and show that he is one of the best in the world. And that's how he's going to do it. Who else we got next on this list? Italy. MXGP. We have the one and only Tony Cairoli, the 9-time champion, is racing his Ducati here for Team Italy. He surprised me a little bit at Red Bud, to be honest. Wasn't really expecting too much out of him. He had couple mishaps, hoping maybe they got the bike a little bit more figured out here for the nations, because I know Red Bud, he was just riding a basically stock bike with factory connection suspension on it. So hopefully they got the bike a little bit more dialed in, a little bit more factory parts put on it. Also, interesting note, he's always been 2-2-2. Team Italy, GP rider, number 2-2 for old Tony Cairoli. Who do we got? Now we got a couple guys. Here we are. A couple guys that will not be at the Nations who seemingly the last couple years have been absolute staples at the Nations for their countries. Starting off, Team France. No Tom Viel. I've mentioned it that he is switching over to Honda 450s and going back to the MXGP series. So he's not on Team France at all. So his time on KTM is dunzo. So that was, I guess, not really a surprise. The only thing that does surprise me is the fact that we saw Tomac and Sexton willing to carry out their current manufacturers and sponsors and all that for this weekend, and we just didn't see that from Tom Viel. Viel did kind of turn it around a little bit towards the end of the Super Motocross season. Thought maybe there'd be a chance, but Team France, now I gotta go back up to them. Where are we? Team France, here we go. I mean, I guess it's just perfect time to stay on Team France. I guess Team France just figured Mathis Valin, like I said, not a big MXGP guy, so not exactly sure who some of these guys are. And I might be blind, but I am not even seeing him on this MXGP results website for the championship in general. So, but they figured he was a better guy to go after than Tom Vielle. Team France, they do have, see, there's another guy. Not exactly sure how you say his last name, but he's a champion. Roman Fevre, I believe. I think the B in there is just kind of silent. He was the MXGP world champion this last year on Kawasaki. So, very much looking forward to seeing what he can do over here on American dirt. Hopefully, not very good, obviously, is what we're hoping for. France's other guy riding the open class, Maxime Renault. He was 7th place in the MXGP Series Championship. So France, they got a shot. There's just, the only problem is, I think there's just three teams just flat out, straight up, better than them. So that's why they're not grouped in with the with some of these other top guys we got here. And then one last guy who has also been a staple for a very long time, it seems like, at these races. Jorge Prado. Team Spain is going without Jorge Prado. Obviously, all of us here in America know, which I do have to say that because I was looking at some of the, statistics or whatever for this. I've had downloads for this show in some of the craziest countries. Like I think I had one, I've had some across the pond in Great Britain. There's been some very interesting places. I've had Australia, maybe like the Reeds' grandparents or something, or the Lawrence's grandparents are listening to Talking Moto. If so, that would be pretty cool. Wouldn't mind some like sweet, like a number plate or a jersey or something cool. But it's probably just some random guy is like, hey, who's this other random guy? Get back on track here. Where were we at? Team Spain, Prado, no MX of Nations for him. We all know the absolute disaster of a motocross season, it seemed like, for Jorge Prado. Didn't like his bike, didn't like his team didn't like him. So all of the signs are pointing towards him going to Red Bull KTM, getting back on an Austrian brand, getting out of this Monster Energy Kawasaki contract that he is on. So not super surprised that Team Spain didn't bring him along, especially get some clicking here so I can spit the mad facts that I want to be spitting here. Prado at Ironman this past year, he went 5-6 for 5th overall. Then you also got to factor in the fact that Chase Sexton absolutely wadded himself off a jump, which that jump might be in question. And where is he? Jetson Lawrence See, a lot of times, like, I'm looking for results. I'm like, am I stupid or blind? And it's like, you're just stupid. Here we go. Jet Lawrence went 17-1. Could have easily had a third place in that first moto, but he got docked the entire lap. So he finished sixth, one spot behind Prado. So Prado easily could have been seventh place. Prado hates Kawasaki. Kawasaki hates Prado. And Spain said, we don't want you, buddy. So I think that's got to really be it for some of the just randomness. Now, we got one country who I think could maybe, with some of these teams I'm looking at, this one country may be able to come in here and jump some of these other countries. We're going to start off with Team Germany with Ken Roczen, who, fittingly enough, today it came out that he is re-signed with, Suzuki for next season. Going to be very interesting because there are also reports that they are going to have an electric start on that Suzuki now. He was on Honda, got an electric start when it first came out. He said he didn't like it, didn't like the balance of the bike, and so they had him put a Kickstarter back on. So I'm really interested to see if Suzuki, if and when they get this electric start, it's going to be very interesting to see, will Ken Roczen like it? Will it throw off the balance of the bike and the overall feel of the bike like he noticed on the Honda? Or will they be able to absolutely nail it and Ken Roczen will be able to run an electric start, because that would have saved him big time. I believe it was High Point 2024 when he went down. He was stuck in some ruts and couldn't get his bike started. Big issue with Kickstarters. Easiest way to do it, find neutral. If you're not neutral, could be a little bit of a hassle. And hopefully Suzuki is able to figure out the button and motor to the starter motor to get everything nice and squared away for Ken Roczen. Always got to have a little soft spot in your heart for Ken Roczen, and for me, for Suzuki, because that's what I got, a Suzuki, and I like it, even though I need a new clutch, and I gotta get that figured out. Dad, if you're listening to this, I know, I'm on it. I'm gonna look tonight when I get home, and then I'll see you tomorrow, or I guess maybe today as this comes out. We'll get that water heater figured out. Now we're just rambling on like an idiot. Germany. They also have your MX2 world champion, Simon Langenfelder, the Red Bull KTM. Like I said, don't know too much about them. I do feel like he's been in the 250s for a while for some reason. It's just a weird feeling that I got, is that Langenfelder's been down there for a bit. Was able to beat out a guy on the next country I'm going to talk about, Kai De Wolf from the Netherlands. Going into this season, your defending MX2 champion. Team Germany, they're third rider in the open class is Max Spies. Going to be completely honest, once again, don't know too much. I got a lot of knowledge on Team USA, obviously, and then a very solid amount on Australia. Some of these other teams, not exactly sure. Like this next team, where I think there's another solid podium chance. the Netherlands coming to America with no Jeffrey Herlings. I do believe last time it was at Red Buds, there was no Herlings as well. There's either no Herlings or no Tim Geiser. I do believe it was no Herlings. We've seen Jeffrey Herlings do absolute insane things at Ironman. We saw him go from 40th to first place there on a KTM. He is leaving KTM. Like I mentioned earlier, he's leaving KTM, going to Honda. That is reportedly what the reasoning behind him not coming to the Motocross of Nations is because he wanted to get an earlier jump on that Honda. I think my big, probably even not like a super hot take, I think these contracts, if you're one of these top guys, I think your contract should run through this race. Your contract should run through the Motocross of Nations. So you can't use that as an excuse. A couple years ago when we had Sexton coming to KTM, he wasn't able to race the Motocross of Nations because his contract was ending. Honda, KTM, I guess they just couldn't see eye to eye for it to work. I don't know if that's a KTM problem or issue, because obviously they had no problem with him doing it this year when he was on a KTM and now leaving, most likely, well, not most likely, for Kawasaki. I think if you're one of these top guys, your contract should extend through the Motocross of Nations. If you got injuries and you can't make it, or, I mean, I know a couple years ago, Justin Cooper, his wedding was that weekend, which, I mean, what's cooler, dude? Racing the Motocross of Nations or getting married? I still, to this day, maybe tell my wife that watching Team USA win that in 2022 is the best day of my life. And she was like, well, yeah, it's going to work until we get married. And then we got married, and I was like, it's still a little bit closer than she might want to accept. But back to contracts here. I think contracts should run through Motocross of Nations. It will ensure all of this is barring injury. It will ensure that we will see top guys there. Obviously, Yamaha is okay with Eli Tomac coming because he's going over to KTM. So now just saying that makes me think the Sexton thing might have been a Honda problem, because Tomac going from Yamaha to KTM, that's good. Sexton going from KTM to Kawasaki, that's good. So I think KTM's the common denominator this year, and everything's good. Last year, KTM was in it, or not last year, excuse me, 2 years ago. I think it might have been Honda's fault. We're just going to blame it all on Honda. They're winning too much. It's Honda's fault. Where even were we? Netherlands, that's right. Holy smokes. Netherlands MXGP guy, Glenn Koldenhoff, always, always, always very solid in Motocross of Nations. On the Fantic bike, which I'm still like, I don't know. I don't know what to think of that. I think it might just be because I don't pay too much attention to it. He got third in the MXGP series here. So obviously it's a pretty solid bike. Now, I mean, he did finish just shy of 300 points down, which is absolutely insane. I think another quick thing, MXGP should not be paying out qualifying races for points. I think that's stupid, to be honest, but That's for a different day. But last year, Koldenhoff got 8th in the open class. He went 8:15 in his two motos. So I guess what I just said of him always being good doesn't quite apply to last year, though. But I just feel like Glenn Koldenhoff, I feel like he's going to be very, very solid for Team Netherlands here. Their MX2 rider, Kai DeWolf, he was 2nd in the MX2 class this past season. Last year in the MX2 class for the Nations, he was 1st with 6.5 moto scores. So very, very impressive. Obviously, being on a 250, you're racing against a bunch of other 450s. So you're at a little bit of a disadvantage already. The big thing is starts, and it's just going to be very interesting. I think the Netherlands, they got 3rd last year. This might be one of the teams where I can see Team Germany coming in here and knocking them off the podium. Their open rider, Kelvin Vlaanderen. I'm going to be honest, once again, still don't know too much about him. He got 6th place in the GP class, so obviously a man can ride a dirt bike. Going to be interesting. Also, another little fun fact. The Netherlands have Koldenhoff, Fantic 450, Kelvin, Yamaha 450, and Kai DeWolf, Husqvarna 250. 3 different brands. Shout out to them, I guess. Now moving over to Team USA. We all know the giant issues that came along with Team USA seemingly every year now, with guys switching teams, not able to go, guys getting hurt, not able to go. So originally we had Chase Sexton in the MXGP class, Hayden Deegan in the MX2 class, and Eli Tomac in the open class. Now we only got Eli Tomac in the open class. He is the only rider left from the original team. We even had Roger DeCoster, the team manager for a very, very long time, also step down. I'm going to look up and see how long Roger DeCoster was team manager. But now we have Mike Pelletier is the new, the new team manager this year for Team USA. He is the, I think he's the director of AMA, so I know he plays a very big part in picking the team with DeCoster. From what I heard and from what I understand, Roger DeCoster still had, I do believe, a little bit in the selections on who was on the team and who wasn't this year. So it's not like he just kind of dropped out and left everybody hanging, because he did announce this pretty quickly before the team was announced. So I was a little surprised to see that he didn't make a "this is my last year" type of announcement. He just made a "I'm done" announcement, basically. So Roger DeCoster was team manager for 44 years. Started in 1981, and obviously just retired now. What have we got here? He led the team to 25 total titles, including 21 motocross and nation championships and 4 trophy designations. Not exactly sure what the trophy designations is. So yeah, he was team manager 44 years, and now we got a new Mike Pelletier going into year one. He has a new team now, a still very, very solid team. So we'll start off with RJ Hampshire filling in for Chase Sexton. Hampshire, last Motocross Nations, he was in the MX2 class. He was a fill-in rider for this as well. I believe this was also, he was filling in for Hayden Deegan when this last year happened. Yeah, because, I can't remember who got announced to the 250 team last year. But I know it wasn't Deegan. And then Cooper Webb stepped up. I don't know. My brain's broken. I think it might... Was it Hampshire? Shit, I don't know. Last Motocross Nations, Hampshire in the MX2 class got sixth. He went 16-10 in a fill-in ride in France. This year, finished fifth overall in the Pro Motocross Championship. Went 3-4 for second overall at Ironman. He is looking a lot more comfortable on the 450 than he did on the 250. I feel like that's just the 450. He doesn't have to use as much power as he thought he had to use on the 250. On the 250, it was RJ Hampshire was always letting it just absolutely hang out. 450, a little bit more power, doesn't need to ride the line quite as much with the more power. But if I'm being honest, I wouldn't mind seeing a little bit of old RJ Hampshire come back for this race. Might need a little bit of crazy RJ Hampshire to happen at Motocross Nations for Team USA to have a chance at winning this. He's in a very, very difficult class. I mean, he's got Roman Fevre, the MXGP champion. Ken Roczen, very experienced in this race. Tim Geiser, one of the, I think, the third most, or at least second most active championships, I do believe, over in the MXGP series. Cairoli, a legend, 9-time champion, also in RJ's class. I mean, the list just goes on and on. Lucas Koonen, Team Belgium, who almost won the MXGP series as a 19-year-old, kind of their version of Jet Lawrence over there. And then the one and only Jet Lawrence is also in this MXGP class. So I think big thing with Hampshire, he needs to get his starts figured out. Well, not figured out, but dialed in for this weekend. If he's able to get his starts dialed in and ride a little bit on that edge, like I'm saying, I think he might need to ride a little bit on the edge to help. I think a big thing, if he does that, a big thing that would calm my nerves, at least, what should calm his nerves also, is we get one drop score. Obviously, you would like to use your 250, your MX2 class, one of his motos as a drop score, because always racing against 450s, typically they're not going to do as good. But we got Justin Cooper. He was one of the best starters on a 250. He's on the exact same bike that he ripped great starts with at Red Bud. So if Justin Cooper can get his starts, I wouldn't mind seeing Hampshire go out there, especially in the third moto where it's MXGP and open class. Just, if I'm Mike Pelletier, I'm saying, RJ, go. Just let it absolutely fly out there. Because He's shown speed. He has shown where he can, for at least a little bit, run with Jet Lawrence. But he's shown he could run and sometimes beat Hunter Lawrence. And I think Australia is the main competition for the Americans. Brought him up a little bit ago, Justin Cooper. Getting back on the 250. Last time he rode a 250 was 2023 Ironman, which just happens to be where this Motocross of Nations is. He went 13-2 for fourth overall in that race. Last time on Motocross of Nations was at Redbud. Like I just mentioned, he got great starts. He finished first in the MX2 class, went 9-4. I do believe 9 was the United States drop score, because that was such a great day. They really flexed their muscles there. I'm trying to find the picture of the final score. I went way too far back. Got back into 2018. That was not a fun time. Okay, we're still in 2021. Got to be getting close. Still 20. Jeez, oh Pete. Here we go. Yeah, USA finished with 16 points. And the next closest was France with 23. Losers. See, I do believe that Justin Cooper's, back to where this all started, Justin Cooper's 9 was their drop score. If he is able to do what he did at Redbud and get great starts, give him the better gate, give him the inside gate every time. You know Eli Tomac doesn't mind going to the outside. They cannot, if they got a chance, like what they had a chance in 2018, where you get the very inside gate and you have a solid shot or a solid run at that first turn. I know Ironman, it closes off very quickly when you're one of the first 3-4 gates on the inside. If there's that 5th, 6th gate is open and Justin Cooper's in the race, give that gate to Justin Cooper. You cannot make the same mistake we made back in 2018 and nobody take that gate and give it up. I can't remember. I think it was France ended up getting that gate and they ended up winning. If Justin Cooper's not in that race and that gate's open, give it to Hampshire. Tomac can do what he needs to do around the outside. We can get old beast mode back for 2 races. But to wrap up my thoughts on Justin Cooper here, obviously he's filling in for Hayden Deegan. Deegan tried to ride. I guess he rode about 20 minutes. Said he couldn't have the strength. If he'd overjump anything, it was bad. He'd try to overcompensate for his one collarbone. I think it was more of a team decision than it was a him decision, because he said that the team came to the decision of having him sit out better for his recovery. So, yeah. But, hey, shout out to Justin Cooper for actually stepping up and wanting to race this race. Even Cooper Webb didn't end up getting picked, but he came out and said he would race any bike that is needed to help Team USA. But I do believe Justin Cooper fits this better than Cooper Webb does, just with how little outdoors Cooper Webb did race this year. Justin Cooper going to race the most out of anybody. Went to every single Supercross, Motocross, and Super Motocross playoff rounds, and now he's going to the Nations. So shout out to Justin Cooper for doing all of this racing. And now Captain America, Eli Tomac, racing in the open class. Like I said, he is the only original guy we got left. Last year in the MXGP class, he finished second with 2-3 moto scores. He was a fill-in rider for Chase Sexton last year after Sexton, I believe it was a broken hand when he got landed on by Justin Barcia in Vegas. But this time, Eli Tomac knows he's going, knew he was going the entire time. This last year at Ironman, finished third with 6-3 moto scores, finished third in the championship as well. I voiced some concerns earlier in the year where if Tomac was getting picked, how would his body hold up with racing so much? I just don't think that will be an issue. He was very strong in Vegas, finished third in the SMX championship as well. So I think we should be getting a very solid, healthy, rested, and ready to go Eli Tomac. If we can get beast mode for just one moto and he can go out there, find a way to win a moto, and then go get fourth at most in his other moto. Not obviously winning a moto in this field that he's going against is obviously going to be very, very difficult. One thing I think that does help him is he's only got to face Jet once. He's not in the same class as Jet Lawrence. I think that was on purpose. Originally, it was Sexton. And now they got Hampshire there. So I think Hampshire might be a little bit of a sacrificial lamb. If that's probably not even the best way to put it, because obviously he's still very, very good. It's just, you know, Jet's very hard to beat. I think Sexton and Hunter Lawrence are the only ones that race in the AMA series that can beat Jet. And so I think if Hampshire can just go out there and give me two solid top seven or sixes, then I will be happy with that. But if Eli Tomac can go out there, get us one moto win, I think that will put us in a very, very good spot at the end of the day. On to the defending champions, the Aussies. Jet Lawrence, MXGP class. Last year, he raced the open class, got first, went 1-2 moto scores. Could have easily been a 1-1, but he got passed by Geiser in the last corner. So it finished 1-2. I mean, there's not too much that needs to be said about Jet Lawrence. He was the motocross champion once again. He got sixth in Ironman, could have with 17-1 moto scores, could have very easily been second, maybe even first at Ironman, depending on points and whatnot, because it could have easily been a third in Moto One with no one lap penalty for hitting the gate. So he could have gone 3-1, but instead it was 17-1. He knows the track, just like his brother Hunter. They're good everywhere they go, especially Jet. Jet's going to be very, very difficult. Jet's going to win the MXGP class, no doubt about it. Well, since I guess we're already giving a little bit of predictions, Eli Tomac's going to win the open class. You watch. Tomac's winning the open class. Jet's winning the GP class. Don't exactly know who's winning the MX2 class yet. I think I got an idea. We'll save that one for when I'm done here. Yeah, honestly, don't know too much what else to say about Jet. We know he's going to be very strong with his starts. Same thing with Hunter, so we'll just lump them both in here together. They're going to be very, very consistent. They're both going to get good starts. Hunter's racing the open class. When it comes to that third moto of the day where it's GP and open class, you know, most likely we are going to see two red Hondas out there with riders in green and gold, green and yellow, whatever you want to call it, most likely up there in the top five. For all I'm concerned at this race, I hope they both hit the gate and get an early advantage both races they're in, and so they get penalized, a lap penalty on both races for both of them, simply because I am worried about Team Australia as an American. Hunter racing the open class. He was fourth last year. Last year he raced the GP class, so this year him and Jet are switching places. Hunter got fourth last year in the GP class, 8-4 moto scores, second in the motocross championship, first at Ironman this year with 2-2 scores. Hunter is going to be much, much more difficult, I believe, this race than he was last year. He will be a lot better than 8-4. He's got another year on the 450 under his belt. Last year, his rookie season on the 450. He's going to be a problem just like his brother Jet. Basically, everything I said about Jet, except for winning the motocross championship, basically applies right to Hunter. It's going to be great starts. It's going to be very consistent. Hunter's going to be a little bit more, calm. Seems like sometimes Jet can get a little crazy with it. So Hunter Lawrence might be the little bit more consistent or calm one out of the two. So that could easily be a problem for the U.S. as well. Kyle Webster, their MX2 rider. Last year in the MX2, he finished sixth with 11 and 19 moto scores. I know he went down a couple times as well. Three-time Australian national motocross champion. He won it this year. One time he has won it in the 250s, and two times, including this past year, he won it in the 450s. So he's got the experience winning championships in both classes. He's got the exact same bike obviously a little personal differences on there that Joe Shimoda and Chance Hymus were riding. We saw how good that 250 was for Chance Hymus and mainly Joe Shimoda. Chance Hymus also won a race this summer before getting hurt. Kyle Webster was also at Ironman on a 450 this year. Kind of interesting that he decided to ride a 450 coming, because I know last year he did the same thing. He came over for a little bit, rode a couple outdoor races. Little interesting that knowing the Motocross Nations race was going to be at Ironman, he came over and still decided to race a 450 at Ironman, and I guess in general, thought for sure he would have rode a 250 to try and get a little extra seat time on the 250. especially because they had an extra 250 sitting around with Chance Hymus being out. But he got 21st at Ironman on the 450, 19th in the first moto, did not start the second moto. So it's going to be very, very interesting to see if he is able to do what he did last year, basically, and that's give him a solid shot. That's what you want out of your 250 guy. You just want them to give you a solid chance at winning this event. So I guess we'll go through a couple of the little things here. So there's three races. I'm going to see if they have the race day schedule posted yet. Motocross Nation schedule 2026 going back to France. I did see that earlier today. Here we go. Okay, so race one is going to be MXGP and MX2 class, and then we're going MX2 and open, and then race three is open and MXGP to end the day. It will be very, very interesting. There's a little bit quicker turnaround according to the times on the website here from race one to race two than there is from race two to race three. My brain just went blank and don't exactly remember why I wanted to pull that up, but I did for some reason. We got three race format. Drop your worst score. It's going to be very interesting to see how it all shakes out. I guess you might as well get into my prediction here. So I have, obviously I already said, Jet Lawrence winning the MXGP class. Eli Tomac, I do believe, will win the open class. And then I think the MX2 winner will come from Team Germany. Just won the MX2 class in their entire series over in Europe. Simon Langenfelder, I do believe, will end up winning this MX2 class here. And probably, I would say probably be the standout guy for Team Germany, but it's just so hard to count out Ken Roczen. So now getting to the winning country. I think it's between Australia and the USA. America, what we need is great starts from Justin Cooper, like he pulled off at Red Bud. We need RJ Hampshire to go out there, be very consistent and solid in his first race where he is racing with Justin Cooper. Hopefully he can get a good result there, around fifth-ish I would take. And then in this second race where he's racing with Eli Tomac, just go out there and absolutely send it. Try to rip the throttle cables off of that Husqvarna 450. I think that will give US their best chance to win. Because if he sends it and it all works out, US will win. If he sends it and it doesn't work out, and we ended up needing to take both of Justin Cooper's results, if he goes out there and gets good starts, then if Justin Cooper goes out there, gets two good starts, Hampshire gets a fifth to seventh in his first race, he's not racing until Justin Cooper's done. So we will know what Cooper's results are, and if we need Hampshire to either keep it up and be smart or just go out there and absolutely rip. I'm putting my eggs in an optimistic basket here. I think Justin Cooper's going to do very, very good. RJ Hampshire is going to go out there and absolutely send it in moto number two. He's going to keep it up on two wheels. Eli Tomac's going to give us a moto and a half of absolute beast mode like he did in, what was it? I think Red Bud. He gave us a pretty good show. He got good starts at Red Bud. So that's what Team USA needs. Tomac, like I said, he's going to go out there. He's going to win the open class. Justin Cooper, get us two great starts. Get us two solid finishes. Hampshire, get us a good finish, and then go out there and ride it till the wheels fall off. And I think that will give Team USA a very, very solid chance at beating Australia. Australia, what they need to do is exactly what they did last year. They're bringing back the exact same team. Jet Lawrence, you know he's going to go out there. Jet and Hunter, you know they're going to go out there. They're going to get good starts. Kyle Webster, he's on a 250. Joe Shimoda, he was getting good starts in the motocross season and in the SMX playoffs. So I have no doubt that he will be able to get good starts here as well on that 250. Lawrence's, they're going to be fast, especially Jet. Hunter Lawrence, he's going to be very, very consistent. And that's the problem I have, is the absolute consistency that we can see out of both of these Lawrence brothers. And sadly, that is why, for the first time since 2018, we will have a repeat winner. France won it from 2014 to 2018. We haven't had a repeat winner since. And I think Australia will go back-to-back here. Pains me to say it. Hate saying it. Don't like the words coming out of my mouth right now. But I think that's just what's going to happen. I can very much see U.S. getting another second place. I would absolutely lose my mind if they win. It's going to be great. U.S. Man, I just hate saying it. But I think Australia, they have the two fastest 450 guys in the world right now. Hunter and Jet Lawrence. Kyle Webster, he did the job he needed to do last year on a 250. And so honestly, I just think he's just going to go out there and do the same job again on his 250. So I think Team Australia is going to bring it home for the second time ever in the history of this competition and their country. Sucks, but that's the way I think it's going to be. Talking underscore moto on X, I will be watching this. Not quite sure about live tweeting, might be too nervous to be doing all that, but I will definitely be watching it, and we will have a little recap show next week. Not exactly sure what we'll be talking about. Hopefully we'll be talking about a U.S. win. If we're talking about a U.S. win, then, hey, I'll be just as happy as everybody. I will happily, happily, happily be wrong in my prediction this time. But I got Jet Lawrence, GP class, Tomac, open class, and Langenfelder, MX2 class, and Australia overall. You know what? Screw it. No, give me America overall. I am taking the United States of America overall because it's the U.S. We don't lose except for the last couple years. And we're just going to ignore those 2 years. It's coming back to America. And we are keeping the, what, Chamberlain Cup, I believe? Yeah. And we will be keeping that trophy here in the United States of America. Talking underscore Moto on Hex. All the fun stuff that you can do over there. Do it. And we'll be back next week. See you.